Here we go. This will be a fast one. We'll just have some fun. Today on the Success Saturday, as I'm calling it, week four, Law of Associates or Law of Association. I don't know, nothing else to call it, but let's get started the way we always do. Is number one, there's my contact info. If anybody wants to get in touch with me, there's the Twitter, the Instagram, Facebook, a couple of websites, and I'm redoing my websites. They'll be redone this month, especially not in FNLP yet, but Dr. Will Horton and a few of the others are going to be, I'm moving them to a different platform, so I'm excited about that. We're going to have some new stuff. I'm really working on doing the Twitter and the Facebook and the Instagram, so, you know, it's going to be fun. But I always start with, you know, the thing is, what have I learned about success in the last week? How can I apply this information? So what we're going to learn today, if you were on the calls before, how have you applied the information? And we always were talking about what's my blocks, what's my coping mechanism. But the most important two questions for today is what can I learn new today and how can I grow? So last week we talked about the rules, you know, some of the psychological rules of the success, if you will, and you know, which ones were easy for you, which ones made sense, which ones brought up resistance. You know, we'll go over those later, but how can you implement them into your life? You know, it's just a different way of thinking, you know? And so again, you know, we really start with what are those subconscious blocks, you know? And so then once we work on those subconscious blocks, then we gotta like start replacing it with other things. Of course, one of the big problems is until you remove the blocks, you can't put the new stuff on top of it. It's the old, as Gil Boyne used to call it, I can't put clean water in a dirty cup. He was a hypnotist. And kind of makes sense. You got to kind of clean it out. And you see where those blocks are when you're looking at some of those rules.
Everything's always complicated because they don't forward, come up with a plan. It's all these back and forth messages that don't tell you anything. And every time I mess it all up.
Debbie, mute. There we go.
I thought Karen said she was calling. No, I guess Joyce is calling.
Got somebody overriding me. Let me go see what's going on. Hold on. Sorry about that. That can happen. That's why you should always mute yourself when you come on a call. Wasn't Debbie, it was someone else. Sorry. Anyway, we'll bring up the rules at the end, but you see the resistance in the rules when you're looking at something and it brings up resistance, you know, then you know there's probably a belief down there or something that's going on that's blocking you from getting it, right? You know, again, like you could say you want to make all this money if that's your goal, if that's one of your goals, but then when you read some athlete, you know, Dak Prescott signs a $140 million contract to play football. Right? Okay, great. What's your response? Sometimes people go, no one's worth that kind of money. That's just shameful. Yada, yada, yada. Well, that's letting you know that there's something going on underneath it that maybe you need to dig into, right? So it's just things, you know, that when you look at that resistance, right? And I'm always fascinated with, you know, Facebook, which has replaced our interpersonal life and also our news. When people that are, you know, in my world of the hypnosis and the NLP, they'll be talking about, you know, the law of attraction and all this. Then in a later post, you'll see them like condemning that kind of thing. You know, like a athlete signs a huge post, or you know, one of those prosperity ministers is buying a new plane. And they just, this is terrible. It's like, I don't know. I think having a private plane would be pretty freaking cool, you know? So anyway, whatever it is, great. So now let's jump into today, you know? Jim Rohn is the earliest I could say, but it kind of goes back to Wallace Wattles kind of said this, and a couple other people, but is you're the average of the five people you spend the most time with. You know, a lot of the motivational speakers talk about that, you know, Jim Rohn, Zig Ziglar, you know, and we, and for those that don't know, Jim Rohn is like Tony Robbins' mentor, right? So is this true? Does this seem to be true? You know, that the people you hang out with the most, you kind of, that becomes your default group, right? And it, but think about what we talked about beliefs and attitudes and that, right? You can't be really into a big group if you have a values and attitudes and belief conflict, right? So is this true? Are you the average of the five people you spend the most time with? And my saying is, you may not rise to the level of your dreams, but you'll always fall to the level of your peers. So that's what we're going to talk about today. I just find it fascinating, right? Groups with high standards, you will try to meet them. If you get in a group with high standards, either you'll drop out of the group or you'll do your best to try to meet them. You know, when you look at the military, you know, when you get into a high performance group, they have different standards than like the regular Army or the regular Navy. You know, it's a different group. And when you're in that group, you want to meet that standard, right? You work to get into that group. I tell the story of my dear friend, I'm going to do my NLP, my dear friend, Tony Robbins. Where he talked about, he was giving a talk to the Marine Corps at 29 Palms and about motivation and stuff. And after he gave his talk and he got to do the fun stuff, the reason he gave the talk, he was talking to one of the commanding generals, and the guy said, I have a question about like motivation. And he goes, you know, I get these young Marines, they come in the Marine Corps between 18 and 24, 25, officers and enlisted. And he goes, you know, when they get in there, just like they're squared away Marines, you know, they look good, they're in shape, because they work out every day, it's part of the Marine Corps, you know, it's booyah, and they're there, right? And he goes, you know, it's great. And then you run into them a couple of years later, they get out of the Corps, yep, they serve their tour, they finish that enlistment. And he goes, you know, it's like, what happened to them? You know, I wonder, are people naturally lazy? There's probably something to that. He goes, but it, you know, what is it? You know, why did they do so good here and not so good there? And so they were talking about a couple of things, and, you know, they kind of came to the conclusion is when you're in that group, you're gonna rise to the level of the people around you. You know, there's a really good book. I've only read excerpts, to be honest with you, but it's called Turn This Ship Around, written by a retired Navy captain. And he kind of got the thing in the Navy where he would go to a ship and help turn it around, you know, like from a bad command to a good command, right? And so it's about being with that group. You rise to the level of the group. So if you're in the Marines, you're working out every day because that's what you do. You got to be squared away because, you know, even if the sergeant or the officers aren't yelling at you, your squad mates are, they don't have to formally reprimand you. You're being reprimanded from the inside. Yeah. So it's just part of it, the way you look, the way you act, right? And then you get out and you go back to the civilian world. Eh, let's face it, a lot of people don't work out a lot. A lot of people don't take care of themselves. You know, so the guy that was the 4-0 Marine at, you know, 24 years old, he gets out, goes back to wherever he's from, works in a factory, and it's great, don't get me wrong. But, you know, he's not squared away. He doesn't look as good. He's not doing that, you know? It's that group mentality, right? And you see that with the high performance teams. How often, you don't even have to be a sports fan really, because we kind of hear where a team will bring in a player from another team. They'll pay them a lot of money. They'll bring in, you know, the only sport I really follow anymore is football and MMA, but they'll bring in this guy because they're trying to change the culture of the team. They hope by bringing in this one guy, it'll help rub off on the entire team. They just did it down here in Tampa. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers brought in Tom Brady, right? And of course they bring in Tom Brady and, you know, about changing the culture. And they're already yelling at him because he's getting guys together to work out. And they're like, he shouldn't be doing this. There's COVID, there's this. And all he did that one time, someone else mentioned, well, you ever notice the guys that are saying that don't have 6 Super Bowl rings, 4 MVP trophies? Yeah, and, you know, is one of the winningest quarterbacks in the history of the league, whatever. But it's the, you know, it may or may not work, but when you're part of that subgroup, you want to stay in that group, you know? And so you know, and Albert was on the call, Mr. Dr. Bramante, you know, that actors do it. And we're going to talk about that. So you rise to fall of the people you run around with. That's great, right? It's also why, like, you know, and this is true across life, right? In work, if you're in a high-performance work environment and you want to be in that work environment, you know, in big corporations, it's not like it used to be, but a lot of us on the call can relate to the old days where if you work for a company, a big company, and I only worked for a big company for a little while, but they always had those divisions or places they sent you to die, right? They sent you to, because that was like, your career was over. The FBI talks about it. You're going to Akron, you know, you're leaving Manhattan, you're going to Akron, you know? And again, even let's look at something like the FBI. Everybody wants to be in New York City, Washington, D.C., L.A., you know, and lately Atlanta, because they're retired now, but they just know agents. That's where you want to be, because that's where you make your career, in those cities, right? So anyway, it could be in work. What about health? Healthy people seem to hang out with healthy people, right? Relationships. I love that one, right? What about relationships? You know, what's the old saying? If you're married and suddenly your spouse has three friends that are single, you know, start hiding money, you know, start getting ready. Cause it's, yeah, you know, if you're hanging around with single people and you're married, it's like, it just gets weird, right? At least that's my opinion. Anyway, what about attitude? People with good attitudes hang out with good attitudes, you know? Of course, I throw in my recovery about being in an alcohol drug recovery. Sober people hang out with sober people, you know? And I won't ever back off from, I have never seen someone that was truly an alcoholic or a drug addict just give up the alcohol and drugs and still hang out with all the same old crowd. I personally have never seen it. I'm not saying it may not be out there, but, you know, so anyway, it seems to be true across life. I'm speaking fast because I love this subject, right? And it's also the lucky ones. This points out the lucky ones, why successful people, you know, super successful families, royals seem to have an edge, the group they're born into, right? You know, look at like, in a weird one, look at how we're seeing in sports. And again, you don't have to be a sports fan, but you might know if you just listen, it's like we're seeing, you know, the sons and even sometimes the grandsons of people that have played in like the NFL or the NBA, they're coming up, they're playing. And I remember Peyton Manning talking about, you know, he goes, well, the best thing he got from growing up with that was, yes, his dad was a great athlete. He was just, that's just kind of the guys he hung out with. We're all pro football players. You know, how would you like to be the quarterback of your football team in high school, you know, and you're talking to, you know, you have the personal phone number of Roger Staubach, okay? It's a different mindset, different group. They're holding you to a different standard, you know? And, you know, my buddy Albert on the call, it's one of the reasons you always see the sons and daughters of actors. Yes, there's always the connections and all that, but it's the mindset. It's the people they hang out with, right? They get up into that one group, right? So maybe that, you know, when we see it in business, we see it everywhere, right? So, and if you're lucky enough to be born into that kind of group, you have a different mindset. So what about those of us that weren't lucky enough to be born into that group? Are we stuck in a state or a place, like a state of mind or a place, or with people that really don't support your dreams, your goals, and your desires, right? You know, because many times, people who should support you will be the ones that sabotage you, right? We really see it, I always see it like in the recovery world. Everybody says, yo, my family would be very supportive. Then they go into recovery, maybe not so much so, right? You know, you hear people come back and say like, you know, their wife, their husband, somebody says, I liked you better when you were drunk, right? You know, and so, you know, and coworkers, if you start getting a better job, you start being yelled at. You know, I remember when I first got out of the Army and I worked at a steel mill, one of the guys that worked with everybody, he took the promotion to become a foreman, more money, all that other stuff. But everybody's like, he's a sellout. He's this. You know, I thought he was cool. Yeah. So think about it. You know, it's like the people who should support you. I thought it was great, but most people are like, you know, because when you change or grow, it challenges them. Right? When you make a change, you lose weight, you quit drinking, you go back to college, you start a business, you become a hypnotist, you know, you start your own, whatever it is, and they would love to do something like that. It challenges them. So rather than support you, it's easier to tear you down, right? And the mistake that keeps us stuck is we think, this is generalized, we make the mistake of thinking that you can raise the level of your old peer group. You know, I'll go back to the bar and sober everybody up. You know, I'll get all the girls in the office to lose weight. Right? And this is why, you know, we see that cool stuff of things like lotto winners. You know, when you win the lotto, how many times we read some guy wins $40 million, even after taxes, 5 years later, not only is he broke, he's in debt. You know, never get out of it, right? They make the mistake of going back and thinking, you know, that they're going to change the people around them, right? I know there's a state, I think it's Pennsylvania, for a while, because I heard a guy give a talk, and a psychologist, and he was on staff, and if you won a big lotto, I think it was Pennsylvania, because it's one of the states you can't anonymously collect the money, so everybody knows you win. You know, he would counsel them on how to handle it. And he would say, one of the first things when you win this money, especially if it was like 10, 20 million, that he goes, the weirdest thing is you look people in the eye and go, you are not a regular person anymore. You're different. You know, what have you always wanted to do? Always wanted to buy a big Winnebago bus and cross the country. He goes, well, when you leave here, go buy the Winnebago, load up the kids. Don't even go home. That's what he would tell me. Don't leave here and go home. Go buy the Winnebago, then go to the mall, buy all new stuff, and hit the road, right? Or go to Europe. Just get out of Dodge. Because this guy said that what he found is after about 6 months, the money became real to these people. For the first few months, it wasn't real, you know? And they felt guilty about winning. So, you know, all their cut, everybody would show up, you know, cousins, relatives, coworkers. I got this way for us to make money, right? So, and he would just show the data that lotto winners that were small businessmen or that had some money, you know, they would double their money in a couple of years, not lose it. So you see that with lotto winners. How many times we see a sports star, you know, they sign a huge contract and, you know, they don't change. They go back. You know, I always remember, you know, again, my sport I follow is football. My team is now the Las Vegas Raiders. But it was a few years ago, they signed number one draft choice in the NFL. Russ. Anyway, tells you how much he blocked it out. But top draft choice. I think he signed a $35 million guaranteed contract. He was out of the league in 3 years, right? Showed up to camp, you know, the first year not in shape, second year like 40 pounds overweight, yada, yada, yada. Well, after he signed the contract, he went back to where he was from. They tried to counsel him because the NFL, in fact, there's a guy who was around the hypnosis world. He was one of the ones that when they give the talk to the rookies about your life is different now, right? Your life is different now. And leave the old behind. You got a new life, you know. So sports stars do it. We always see actors do it. You know, they get the breakthrough role. They get the role of a lifetime, the role of everything, right? And they sabotage it, right? I heard an actor give a little talk once, and, in fact, it was at the American Academy of Dramatic Arts, and he goes, well, you know, he was taking acting classes because a true actor takes acting classes. And he was, you know, it's all working actors, but struggling actors. And he gets his breakthrough role. I won't say who it was. And it, suddenly his life is different. He is like, never has to audition again for the rest of his life. He's an A-lister. And he goes, he changed one thing, which was he started taking acting classes with other A-list actors. Because all the other people, you know, it was a different group. So it's all about changing, you know, these groups. That's what today's all about, right? Cool. So if this is all true, and right now you're in a certain group, you're where you live and you're doing what you do, but what if you want to totally change your life, right? What if you totally want to change your life? You know, how are you going to do it? How are you going to do it? Well, you got to pick a core group. Oh, Debbie Harris brought up a good question about not going back to wanting to give back. Well, it's a good question for like going back to like the sports stars and people that make money. We'll have to talk about that later, because that's, you know, interesting. So anyway, but let's move on to this about, so you're stuck where you're stuck, so to speak, right? Oh, good. She pointed out like LeBron James. He did it from afar. He didn't move back to the hood. You know, he did it from afar, right? And he kept a separate group of friends, a different group of friends, you know? I know I heard Mike Tyson talk about that a little bit, that, you know, people ask him, how did he burn through $300 million? And I forget the fight he had where his purse was like $20 million. He actually left Vegas owing $1 million to the casino, because he brought 100 of his closest friends, put them in hotels, and gave them everything on room service in Vegas, you know? So anyway, so you could give back without going back, right? So now I'm moving on to like what we can do. We can pick a mental group. So you need to pick a group that you'd like to be your core group, right? What's your core group? Your mental mastermind group, if you will, that they have what you want. Now these people you may not know personally, obviously, or you may not have them on speed dial, but who would you love to be in your mental core group? That they have what you want, at least from what you know. So great thing about the current world that we're blessed sitting here on the computer, you can read up on them, you can YouTube them, you can Google them, you can find out about them. And I have to stress, this is your group, not anyone else's. You know, because in this current environment, if you bring up a name, someone will find a problem with it. I remember somebody's talking about something, they're talking about, in the hypnosis world, they talk about modeling Milton Erickson, and someone went, well, you really shouldn't do that because he was homophobic. You know, if he had a homosexual client, he would, you know, try to change their sexuality, you know. What's that got to do with what we're talking about, I guess? But it's like, so if you bring, you know, it's your group, not anyone else's. You want to model somebody, it's who you want to model. It's who you want in your core mental group, right? Cool. You know, and it's out of focus. I apologize. I posted this last time, which is, again, like if you hang around with 5 confident people, you'll be the 6th confident person. Hang around 5 intelligent, you'll be the 6th. 5 millionaires, you have a better chance of being the 6th. If you hang around with 5 idiots, you'll be the 6th, right? Or you'll be on Facebook. Or eventually you'll be elected to Congress, right? So, you know, if it's true, you know, this core group, you have a lot of freedom, right? And we have magic with a K, if you're into that, right? Real magic, right? We have the secret magic, and this is overlooked. Because again, as Maxwell Maltz said, and I forget where he got it from, your mind doesn't know the difference between a real or a vividly imagined event, right? We all know that with the lemon test is for hypnosis, or the make your hand cold. We all, or put your hand in ice water and feel it warm. We all know that. I saw a guy do a demo. He was doing the stop smoking seminar. And one of his demos is he had a group hypnotized, and he had a little glass and it had fluid in it, liquid. And he'd say, in a moment, I'm going to put a bouquet of roses under your nose. It smells wonderful. Like the best bouquet of roses you ever had. And if no one's up, Anyone, he did ask, anybody allergic to roses? No, good. So when you smell this rose, it'll bring a smile to your face and make you relax. Great. So he went to each person with his little glass and they would go, right? Well, it was ammonia, straight ammonia. And it wasn't a magic trick. It was, he poured the ammonia out of the bottle into the glass and put it under the people's nose. Now, I know some of my hypnotists and my psychologist friends are grasping their chest going, huh, yeah. But I saw him do this several times, and I would never do it, but it was fascinating. No one burned their nose. No one snapped out of trance. You know, the most that happened, one went, something wrong with those roses. But most of the people would go, take a deep breath, and they bring a smile, and they go, and that's just, you know, it's fascinating to watch. So our mind doesn't know the difference, the lemon test, that, you know, the stuff that we do. So why don't we use this? So one of my master trainer students from beautiful Oregon, her name is Carolyn East, she gave a little talk on creating a buddy board, you know, where it's kind of like this, right? Where you put together what we're talking about, like a mental buddy board. You know, and like five or so people, right? And you put these buddy boards in your mind, right? And you can, I would actually physically make them. If possible, you find examples of people who have as many aspects that of what you want for your core group, because you can have more than one group, you know? Because in real life, you have different friends. You're different people to different when you're with a different group, you know? What's your big passion hobby? If you have a big passion hobby, maybe there's that group. So, you know, so if possible, find examples of people who have as many aspects of what you want and make them your core group. Right? So hope that makes sense, right? And then meet with them mentally, right? Read about them, listen to YouTubes that they have, you know, buy their Audible books, whatever it is, listen to them, read about them. Right? They become your mastermind group, your mental mastermind group. Okay? And this is up to you. And again, it's your group. And but you need to figure out who you want in your group. But the most important is why. Because again, it doesn't, don't fall into being politically correct or socially correct or industry correct, you know, like, you know, with I'm a hypnotist, I'm a NLPer, right? Oh, of course you'd have like Richard Bandler or Milton Erickson on your list, would I? You know, we shall see in a moment, but who is in your group? It's only up to you. So now I'm gonna share my soul with you and I'll show you my core group and one of my subgroups. Mr. Robbins, my dear friend, Anthony Robbins, right? And it a lot of it is because of what he does for a living, but I really like it because he actually lives what he talks about. Physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually, right? And he's successful across many domains, you know? So I just find that fascinating, you know, from talking to people that really know him, and I've only met him twice at one of his events. I know some people from outside our world are shocked to find out that he actually makes the seminar business is nothing to him. It's not his money maker. You know, he owns, I forget how many corporations, Quest Bar, you know, the company makes the Quest protein things. I know he's produced movies. He has his hand in, hangs around with venture capitalists. So he is truly diversified. So I just, and he seems to walk the walk. So I put him on, this is part of my core group. Elon Musk, right? Because he seems to follow his own thing. And again, he's, you know, he started PayPal. I forget how much money he walked away with PayPal from. And then he goes and starts a car company and everybody says he's crazy. Then the car company's taking off. He decides to create SpaceX or whatever it is, right? So it's like, I just find that fascinating. He, you know, what he does, right? And from reading about him and doing that, he seems very sincere and interesting. And I put him on my list after I heard a podcast with him and Joe Rogan, right? I think they were getting high, but the fact he was just being so human. It just, you know, it was just so interesting. Okay, so who else is in my list? Joe Vitale, my dear friend Joe Vitale. I met him quite a few times. He used to come to the National Guild of Hypnotists convention for, I forget how many years he was at the Guild convention. He quit going the year The Secret hit. I wonder why. You know, maybe making, you know, millions of dollars overnight. But he he's very, you know, he made his first thing in doing hypnotic writing and then writing sales pages for people and then doing the other stuff. And then it just grew, right? And he seems very sincere, nice guy. He's into physical fitness, you know. He lost, because last year I saw him at the Guild, he was really buff. He was starting to get into working out, right? I like Arnold Schwarzenegger, right? And I like him because, you know, he dominated bodybuilding. Then he went to become an actor, right? And he did pretty well. He was the top box office draw in the world for a long, long time. Walked away from that when he was still at the top to become governator, right? And so it's kind of interesting. To me, he's interesting, right? Sylvester Stallone. He's in my group, not just because he's a brilliant businessman, not just being a good actor, and that the movies he's produced, the movies he's written, you know, and the fact that the picture with the tattoo with his shirt off, that's him at 72. That, to me, that's impressive. Yet, you know, and, you know, so it's kind of cool. Billy Blanks. And I like him for a couple reasons. He got on my list lately in this pandemic lockdown because he totally switched his business overnight and started doing everything online, right? Dr. Vermonte, Albert's fitness guru, right? And it's like, you know, and by the way, he still practices martial arts. He does action movies. When I was researching to do this week's talk, you know, I heard him talk about, he likes doing movies. It's not really his thing. He likes teaching people martial arts and his Taibo stuff. And he's a good businessman, but the fact he was so resilient during the lockdown, right? So that's my core group. Then you can have subgroups, right? So I gave you my core group because they cross different genres, right? And this little subgroup is actors, because people know I like acting, right? These are character actors, right? It's not a good picture, but there's a lot of names in there. These are the people when you see them, you go, oh yeah, he's that guy, right? Of course, I wouldn't say Hugh Jackman, but I put him in my subgroup because he can do screen acting and stage acting. So he would be in my subgroup for that. Now this guy, his name's Glenn Mosshauer. I hear he's a very nice guy. He's that guy, when you see his face, he's in every other freaking movie if it has a military guy or a senior FBI agent, you know, and he'll play the good guy or the bad guy, but he's always like that guy, right? And to me, if I'm gonna have a subgroup, if I wanna be an actor, he's all, you know, it's great. J.K. Simmons. Right, he's popping up in every other movie, it seems like, right? And he's not the star, but he'll be like the sub-star. He was on a Law and Order for years, you know. He did win an Academy Award, but it was supporting actor, right? And I heard him give a talk. He goes, one of the things he's blessed with is he doesn't have to carry a movie, right? Ken Jeong, I put him on my little sub list because he was a very successful medical doctor when he started doing acting. First, he started taking improv, and he started doing acting, and he got cast, and then he started doing more and more. And, you know, from his little talk, his family was yelling at him, you know, not to sound politically incorrect and racist, but, you know, he's Asian, he becomes a medical doctor, he's, you know, he's the subculture's dream. And he's like walking away from being I think he was an internist, to start doing small parts in movies. you know, and the chief of staff was yelling at, but he, obviously it worked out well for him, but, you know, he's, I just think that's fascinating that he did it. And he's pretty good. I've seen him do some really good stuff. I put Liam Nielsen up there. He's my sub in my subgroup. He's kind of a leading man, but for years he was a great character actor. But I like him because he talks about, you never know when your break's gonna come. He almost turned down Taken. He thought it was a stupid movie. He only did it because he needed the money. And the shooting schedule fit his thing, right? And so that I just put him in there to remind myself of that. This guy, we know him as, Mayhem from the Allstate commercials. He's a great character actor, but I also put him on my list because he almost died twice and had some other issues and the way he came back, right? So, you know, who's your group, right? This is my core group. You know, and you may, it works for me, right? So, you know, you could have mental meetings with your core group. And if you're working on a subspect, like if I'm thinking about acting, I just started adding that. It's like, I'm going to, you know, this would be it, right? Because I remember one time hearing an actor talk about when he was giving his, he's been interviewed on the Actor Studio. And they're talking about this, and he was in some off-Broadway play. And he said what he realized he was different because every night when they would go up, get ready to go do this play in this off-Broadway play, probably seat, I think he said like 80 people in the audience. He would imagine like Robert De Niro, or this was in a long time ago, so it was older actors, but he's saying all these like, his idols would be in the audience. That's who he was acting for. That's who he was not trying to impress, but that was, he was raising his standard. So he wouldn't be ashamed to step foot on that group. Because when you go back to your group, you know, would they support you with whatever your dream is, you know? So that's why you want to put these people in your group that, that would they support you from what you know of, right? And again, it's your network. You don't have to be politically correct or whatever, right? I don't really, this group I'm sharing it with, but if you mention it to anyone and someone corrects you about your group or someone you find as a model, if you ever do share it, if someone corrected me about one of my people, I would cut them out of my life as much as possible, right? Because that lets me know, it's like, oh, so you're not very supportive, right? Pick people who support your dreams or would. And generally, I would say keep this one private. Now, I think I can show it to you. I redid my vision board, and I put my little core group here, right? And there's my little subspecialty group, right? I got a couple other things, and it's, you know, just stuff, horses, houses, stuff I want to work on next. So that's my like vision board, but I added my little buddy board to it because, again, would those people support you having whatever it is that you want? So that is this level of association, you know, so create this subgroup in your head that would support you getting what you want, you know. And I'll close with, we also see this a little bit like in our NLP and hypnosis subworld. When you go to the conferences, if you go to conferences, you'll notice that like some of the higher achievers will hang out with the other higher achievers. It's not that they're not welcoming new people. It's not that they're not supporting. It's just like, it's, if you really get into the law of attraction and you're thinking about that, you're drawing certain people to you. So again, if you want whatever it is at the next level, create that group that will support you. So your homework, if you're following along, is to put your network together, right? You don't have to post this one on the Butterfly Facebook page, but just bear in mind that this is your group. And then find pictures, it's easy, God, we have it so easy. We don't have to go do research or anything anymore. Just start Googling shit and it all comes up, right? and put the people and have a couple of mental meetings with the people. Tell them your hopes and dreams and what you're working on, right? And just see what happens, you know? And again, imagine you've already, here's my only caveat. Imagine you've already made the cut. So now you're in that group, you know? It's like my friend says, getting into medical school was the trick for him. Because rarely do people flunk out of medical school. Getting in is a nightmare, right? They set the bar so high. Once you're in, they want you to succeed. You know, they'll tutor you, they'll help you, they'll this. I do that. I know one from personal fact. Once you make the Rangers or once you make the SEALs, right? If you make it through the cut, they want you in. You've done the hard work, right? Whatever it is, they're going to try to support you as much as possible. Making the cut in some of those groups is tough, but imagine you've made that cut, right? So when you think about that group, the only, and I sound like a politician here, and lastly, as they say that six times, when you look at that group, as much as you can respect and admire them, deep down as you're looking at them, are they 100 times smarter than you? No. Are they 100 times more hardworking than you? No. Are they 100 times more talented than you? No. I'm not saying that they're not smarter or more, but, you know, whatever it is, they can't be so exponentially above you, you know, that, you know, they're not royalty. You know, there's a reason why throughout history, they always tried to say royalty was chosen by God, right? And then people got around royals and go, yeah, they put their pants on like we do. You know, they still take a dump. They do the things we all do, right? So you've made the cut. So now that you're in the group, they're going to support you. They're going to want to network with you and help you make those things. So I'm going to stop the recording and we can talk. Oh, all right. So now that we're not recording, we can say whatever we want to say. And I think if you want, there's some cool comments over here. If you want to like download the, I can never pronounce his name. Yes, he's a great character actor. So anybody have any comment? Something you want to, anything they can? No? Quiet group. I'm going to come over to your house and blow up M80s if you don't, people don't say stuff. You know? Albert, you're unmute. There you go.
I said that would bring excitement in North Carolina a little bit right now. He did that.
Yeah. Cool. All right. Does this make sense to everybody? I mean, maybe you already do it, but, you know,
absolutely.
I'm going to add this.
Absolutely, yeah.
Yes.
Definitely.
Yeah. So once you get in, you know, you're there. You've made the team. You didn't ring the bell. You know, you didn't tap out. Right?
The problem is with these things, they seem so simplistic that it's hard to believe that they work. That's you know, but I know they do.
Yeah.
At least from hearing it from others. Let me put it that way. But I absolutely am going to start working in this direction. No doubt about it.
Yeah.
I think one of the hard parts, Will, is that I found myself in a group like that in February, just by whatever the universe put me there. So I think the hard part sometimes is not questioning, what am I doing with these people? I mean, they've achieved this, they've done that, they've done this, and then they start saying, they start acknowledging you and your accomplishments, and it's that little bit of self-doubt that we have to keep kind of, you know, working through.
I'm not worthy.
right. You know, what's going on here? Have I fooled them all? Yeah. But, and that's, you know, I've learned to work on that, but that's something that I think, and I think all successful people have that. And when you hear actors and sports people and others talking about it, you go, come on, how could you have been nervous? How could you have been But you realize, like you said, we're all just people.
Yeah, yeah. And cool.
I love that one slide with Denzel Washington. I think that's extremely powerful.
Yeah. Once you get that core group,
So I really like the idea of putting pictures up of people in these groups. And I think the other point you made is, in today's world of technology, reaching out to, at least from a content perspective, looking at what thought leaders in different areas are doing is more accessible than ever. So that, you know, as a starting point, and then places like LinkedIn and even Twitter, if you reach out to the right people, you can have positive conversations and thoughts and getting feedback on what's going on.
Yeah. Yeah, and you can, like you say, you
I agree.
You get those pictures. I want to show one thing. Hold on. I tried to get pictures. This is the other thing I did. Like, that would show like he's actually talking to me. Like, I don't know. This might work, it might not work. You know, it's like,
that's great.
You know, like this one going, I don't know, I'm high. I don't know, whatever. Yeah. Or, you know, in my mind, see, I picture him going, I don't know. They told me PayPal wouldn't work. They told me I couldn't create a car company, and they told me I couldn't have a private company go to space. Okay? These are my thoughts. Now you're in my, and Joe just laughing at one of my jokes. Right? Arnold, that's the only picture I could, he just looks so intense there. Right? And I picture this going like, you know, working out with him. You know? Of course, I couldn't do a pull-up with a 100-pound weight attached to me, but, you know, with him, it would be like working out with him, right? And some of the, you know, like these are, you know, like him, it would be like, it's just that. But him, I picture that being on a set with him, you know? So anyway, that I just wanted to share. That's how I picked, like, Wayne reminded me of, you know, in this day and age, it's so easy to get the pictures that would
well.
Yes.
Could you go back a slide where it said something about PC network? Yeah, I sort of lost that. What was that all about?
Don't be politically correct.
Oh, okay. I was thinking PC like my computer. No. All right. Politically correct.
Like a lot of us here, you know. Oh, you'd have to have Milton Erickson on there. I don't want Milton Erickson on my thing. You know, I might have 20 years ago. I don't know why, but it's like, yeah, you know, it's your group. It depends on what you're going for right now.
So on subgroups, are you doing this kind of like my topic? One is you mentioned acting.
Yeah, I'm going to put one together for like, you know, physical fitness, you know. Depends what, yeah, you know, like what's your subgroup, right? So
do you have goals for your subgroups as well?
No. But like that group, I could talk to about acting, get their feedback, wonder what it would be, you know. Probably same shit I hear in every acting class. Be real, be in the moment, you know. Don't do actoring, quit actoring. That's the current term. Quit be, that's for Albert, you know. Actoring, yeah.
Yeah. So, my groups are mainly advising. Is that what you do or?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Like if you had a mastermind group.
Okay.
Yeah. Hi, Will. You said it. I was about to say that it's combining an external mastermind with your own internal mastermind, then your vision board, then the mental meetings. So we're hitting it all from all angles.
Yeah, and then you can listen to them every day, like you say, with Wayne pointed out, and that is like you could YouTube, listen to them a little bit every day, especially if it's like Tony Robbins or the Joe Vitale, you know, those, you know, things like that. So anyway, I hope that's it for today.
Oh, there was one important point, which was we get some success, and then You mentioned the concept of self-sabotage. So we go up one step and then go back three, go up two, go back four. So in the end, we're always further back than what we progress. So any thoughts on that? I'm just talking about that in general.
Yeah, I think it goes back to like what we talked about, especially the first week, about feeling worthy.
Right.
Feeling deserving.
Okay.
You know?
Yeah.
Do I feel worthy, you know?
I think for me, I would think, what would my core group say to me if I said that? And my core group, assuming I've picked the people that I want, they would say, they would get me out of that, because they would get me out of that space. So I think that's what's really cool about this core group.
Yeah, and it'd be like, I just know, I don't know why I know this. Joe Vitale drives a Bugatti, right? One of the most expensive cars in the world, right? And he bought it new. And I heard him talk one time. Somebody said, well, you could have bought one used and saved this. He goes, then I wouldn't be rich. You know, and I love when people post, again, going like to Facebook, they go, you want to get rich? You got to live like you're poor. Right? Really?
What?
No. Well, then that's good for your financial advisor, because then he's got more money of yours to waste. You know, but it's like, it's that idea of, are you worthy of a new car? Of the, you know, you don't need that much house. What if you want that much house?
Or as my great friend Alan says, life's too short to fly coach and drink cheap beer.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, well, like I say, I always bust some of the people I know on Facebook, because they're always slamming those prosperity ministers for buying a plane. I'm like, I don't know. You know, I think it'd be pretty fucking cool to have my own plane. It's like, you know. So.
Well, if you're in the commercial world, then it's not frowned upon. That's your whole purpose, is to make the money.
Yeah.
But in the ministerial world, it's a little bit of a gray line there, that you're using planes to go around and help more people. So that's
really, you know, they're running multi-billion-dollar corporations. They're multi-billion-dollar corporations.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, it's
do we still believe in, with great wealth comes great responsibility?
Nah.
I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah, well, you could give back. All these guys, Tony Robbins feeds.
Right.
I forget what it's millions of people a year. You know, like, I do know when you're at one of his events, it's $5,000 to get your picture taken with him. Right.
So he'll give me $5,000 if.
Yeah, he'll give you $5,000 when you donate it. And he'll tell you when you sign the check, it's to his.
Oh, I thought he was giving it to me. So.
Yeah, I'd only charge $2,500. Okay.
But, okay. You
know, yeah, but I mean, it's like, yeah, he gives back. You know, he takes picture, and all the money goes to his Feed America Foundation or whatever it is, right? So yeah, it's.
So if I can make a comment on the steps forward and the steps back, because I do a lot of project work.
Okay.
And one of the useful frames is, because things don't always rarely go as planned, is that these step backs are just, we needed to learn something, right? So it's not really a step back, it's gathering knowledge, right? That feedback and all that stuff. And it doesn't reflect on us personally. So embracing mistakes is also embracing knowledge. I don't know if that's helpful or not.
Yeah. Well, and then also too, when you're picking your group, pick people that that had some challenges in their life. You know?
Yeah, that will support the unplanned learning.
Yeah, it's like they made a lot and then they lost a lot, maybe, you know. Yeah. Joe Vitale talks about it, but Tony Robbins talks about it, right? How that, what was it, 1999, I heard him give the big talk. Anyway, it had to do, he couldn't make payroll. You know, any business owner knows what I'm talking about when you're sitting there going, I can't make payroll, right? and but he had that fancy house and he was speaking in front of thousands, you know. And so that's when he said he started changing his thinking about some of the other things, right? So anyway, I don't know where it comes from. So anyway,
this was great.
So everybody have fun, and I'll post this a little later in the butterfly experiment thing on Facebook. And
okay.
So if anybody wants anything, and we'll everybody have a good fourth.
Thanks, Will. You too.
Yeah. Oh, Greg, how are you doing, Greg?
Hey, I've been quiet. You know, they got Ghislaine Maxwell out of the state, so now New Hampshire is a clean place to live. You know.
Cool. Well, I live.
I'll be in New Hampshire soon.
It's beautiful right now.
I live in Florida. It's a hot spot, literally and figuratively.
Yeah, that's where all the cool guys go, though, Will, you know? Yeah. Hey, just real briefly, there was one thing I've been sitting and thinking about. Not to throw water on this, but as a note of caution, we all look up to people and we want people that we respect or in some fashion admire to be on that particular list of our group. But before you do it, dig deeply so that you don't add in the Epsteins, the Madoffs, and that type of crew. Because really, I mean, if you had gone back to 2002, Bernie Madoff walked on water. He was a demigod of investment. Same thing with Epstein. So when
But isn't the idea here that it's our private group, and if those people have characteristics that you want in your core group, then
that's who's in your core group. Yeah, it could go back to the old, and I believe this, if you really admire somebody, don't meet them. You know? I mean, if they're a writer, like, I love your book, I don't want to meet you.
But, you know, sometimes negative leaks in, so just be careful.
Yeah.
But I agree. People who are really true, absolute human beings and people. Elon Musk is a great one. Sits down with Joe Rogan, smokes a joint, has a conversation. You know the guy is real. He's not making the stuff up. So, yeah, absolutely. The real people going on the list.
Okay. Oh,
excuse me.
Yes.
The way I look at that, though, is you're looking at that person as, and maybe I'm overusing this or using the wrong term, but almost like an archetype, rather than the person itself, but what that person means to you. And I can understand, Greg, what you're coming from, because you have this person is sort of like a hero, and you have this fantasy bond with them. And then all of a sudden, you find out that they are really very, very less than what you would ever desire them to be. And it sort of blows your whole idea. But to me, I'm not looking to be them. I'm looking for that aspect of them that I imagine that I want. And so therefore, it takes it away from the actually being the actual person themselves. I don't know if that makes any sense.
Yeah, that and it's a snapshot in time.
Yeah, it's a snapshot in time. The only aspect that I look at is if we make a choice and we follow that path and it's something that we think is beneficial to us, and then something negative happens, what do? We immediately say, oh, how could I have been so stupid? Oh, my God. Which gets back to Vijay's statement of taking a step backwards.
Yeah.
We never want to go backwards. So if we use care going forward, we're never going to shatter ourselves in that way.
Well, good point.
And also, too, it's
right.
It's like, and we're seeing a lot of looking at history through today's eyes.
Right.
Yeah, big mistake.
It's like.
Because we're also not becoming these people. I agree. It's more of an archetype of something in them that resonates with us, that moves us forward until it doesn't.
Yeah. All right, everybody.
Thank you. Thanks again, everybody. Will. This was awesome. Nice to meet you.
Thank you, Dr. Will.
Bye-bye.
See everybody.
Bye.
Thank you. Nice seeing everyone.
Okay. Have a good one, folks.
Yeah.